council meeting for Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018, 9 a.m. is now called to order. I have regrets today from Councilors Gilbert Johnson and Kevin Hughes. Under 2.0, changes approval of agenda. I have no changes to the agenda this morning. Are there any changes to the agenda? Hearing none, a motion to approve the agenda circulated would be in order. Moved by Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Freilich. Any discussion? Any question?
Question.
Are you ready for the vote? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. I would ask at this time if anyone would have any electronic devices, if they turn them to the silent mode. We now have under 3.0 presentation, and I'm pleased to ask Samantha Noseworthy if she'd come forward. She's going to do a presentation on Nova Scotia Health Authority. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, everyone's really chipper this morning. I know. So after the long weekend, everyone's relaxed.
The sun is shining.
Yeah. Okay, so my name is Samantha. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a health promoter with the Public Health Division of the Nova Scotia Health Authority. So I just have a brief presentation for you today, mainly to provide an explanation of the structure of public health within NSHA, and then I'm going to zoom in and focus specifically on my role as a health promoter, and then lastly and most importantly how this relates to you as the municipality and some opportunities for partnership. So here I have a brief description of public health and how public health may differ from other primary health care workers and frontline health care. So the slide states that public health works together with others to understand the health of our community and acts together to improve health. We differ from other professionals in that we focus on populations as opposed to individuals and the multitude of factors that impact the health of our community. So there are three different units which fall under the public health umbrella. The first is health protection, so those are our registered nurses and LPNs, and some of their responsibilities include communicable disease reporting and follow-up in the school immunization program that you may be familiar with. The second unit would be early years, and so that's also made up of our RNs, LPNs. We also have community home visitors and community outreach workers. So their responsibilities include screening and delivering supports for pregnant women and new parents. And then thirdly, and the unit which my position falls under, is healthy communities. So the healthy communities team is made up of health promoters like myself, but we also have school health promoters, nutritionists, dental hygienists, and nurses, which work within the team. But today I'm specifically going to speak to my role as a health promoter. I've identified three of our main areas of responsibility, sort of in broad terms. So the first would be to assess community health. So we can accomplish this via review of statistics that are released from Stats Canada or any other data source. And there are also examples of where communities with support from health promoters have collected their own data around a specific area of concern. Secondly, and perhaps the most important part of our work involves advocating and developing healthy public policy. So this can occur through partnerships with the municipality, and we can also support advocacy campaigns which target local and provincial governments. And then lastly, it's important for health promoters to engage with the community. and develop strong partnerships. So the goal of health promoters is not to enter a community and impose a public health agenda. We want to work with the community to identify areas of opportunity. So what makes us sick? So often when we have conversations about health, the general thought process and response to this question has a lot to do with individual choice. So a person chooses to eat unhealthily, or a person chooses not to exercise, and that's why they're unwell. But we know that it's a lot more than that. And actually, on a population level, individual choice has very little to do with health outcomes. So that's where the social determinants of health come in. And when you look at the graph, you can see that 50% of what determines our health is our life circumstances. So things such as income and poverty, early childhood development and trauma, education, housing, and employment all have a significant impact on our health. Another facet to consider would be the environment, the built environment, your physical environment, where we live, work, and play can significantly impact health as well. So when we're thinking in terms of healthcare, so that 25%, it can be difficult to make the connect in terms of how the municipality can directly impact healthcare. But when we look at health in the broader terms, so when we think about the life and environment portions of the graph, we can start to make connections in terms of how the municipality can play a role in health. So municipalities can make a significant impact on a certain aspects of an individual's life and environment, and therefore municipalities do have the power to improve the health of their communities. So I've identified three different ways that the municipality can play a role in the health of the community. Firstly is through changes in the built environment. So that can be through zoning regulations, active transportation plans, complete street plans, just to name a few. And built environments can either enable or prevent health. Secondly would be policy development, as I mentioned previously. I do have some examples of specific policies on a few slides forward. But ideally, the municipality would consider all policies through a health lens to determine whether a policy has the potential to promote or impede health. And then thirdly would be community engagement. So in order to improve the health of the community, one has to know where to start, what issues residents are facing that make it difficult for them to achieve their maximum health. So the municipality is in a prime position to be able to engage with the community and determine how best to tackle health issues. So based upon the guidelines of my role and then also the mandate and responsibilities of the municipality, I've identified some opportunities for partnership. Information sharing would be one example. If you require information or statistics about your area, I'm able to provide that. Policy development, as I've mentioned, is another opportunity for collaboration. Health promoters can help to ensure that a public health lens is used when developing policies or reevaluating current policies. Health impact assessments, and there are also health equity impact assessments, are tools which can be of use to the municipality. The assessments aim to determine the potential health impacts that a policy would have. And then we have community engagement. So in my role, I could help to facilitate or build capacity to be able to conduct community engagement as it relates to public health. Community engagement is a very important aspect of social inclusion, and social inclusion is a determinant of health. So just by engaging, or just by being present with community engagement, we're actually improving the health of our community. And then lastly, there's capacity building. So in any area the municipality has interest in as it relates to public health, I can help to build capacity. And I've just listed a couple of our past successes and instances where we've partnered with municipalities and community groups. So firstly, you may all be familiar with the housing assessment, which was completed in the South Shore a couple years ago. So public health and specifically health promoters were a major partner in that project, which produced information specific for this area around housing. And there's currently another housing assessment underway for the rest of the Western Zone, and Health Promoters are a major partner in that project as well. We have developed a community engagement strategy in Kings County. We've developed numerous healthy eating policies throughout the Western Zone. And then we've also been involved with active transportation planning, specifically in the town of Bridgewater. We sit on their active transportation committee, but we're also involved with other municipalities and their plans for active transportation as well. So to summarize, local government and public health. We can connect with communities to identify needs, engage on common issues that impact the health of our communities. We can work together to find solutions and therefore improve the health of our communities. That's it.
Thank you, Samantha. Are there any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Kelly.
Hi, Samantha. Thank you very much. So the Queens Community Health Board,
yeah,
is their overall plan is to take care of the health of our community, and they're building plan.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you fit in with that? Like how you just said exactly what pretty much the Community Health Board does.
Right. So the Community Health Board, I would be their connect in the way that you're the connect to the municipality.
Okay.
I would be the connect to the health authority, but then also to the municipality as well. So they're limited somewhat in that we have a broader scope of what we tend to focus on, as opposed to the Community Health Board identifies certain priorities and they tend to focus on those priorities, whereas if we see an opportunity come up within the community, it may not be the Community Health Board's priority, but we can pursue that. So we do a lot of the same work.
Okay.
And we support one another.
Okay.
But yeah.
Will you be sitting on their board as well then?
Not permanently. I wouldn't say permanently. I am permanently
officially
the connect,
right.
But the Community Health Board coordinator,
yeah,
would always be sitting with the board, but
right,
I would sort of be there as needed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Samantha, what is your area that you cover? Just
Queens.
Just Queens,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So years ago, when I worked for another company, television company, we had a series of programs. We worked well with the community nutritionist with the Department of Health at that time.
Okay.
And she worked closely with the then Department of Agriculture and Marketing, and they used to visit the schools and that sort of thing, but they did a series of programs on healthy eating, like they were actually on-air shows.
Yeah.
And that was very well received from the general public. And Heather was involved in a program a few years ago. I'm talking about schools now and healthy eating.
Okay.
Heather was involved heavily in a project a few years ago where they received funding from the Awesome Foundation. And Heather, you were involved in the school program
with
them.
Food fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you do anything like that, going to the schools, or do you, as promoting good health, what relationship do you have with younger kids that can then inspire their parents to get a little bit more in tune with preparing healthy meals?
Sure. Yeah, so we specifically have school health promoters.
Okay.
So the school health promoter for Queens would be Sarah Murphy. So she covers Queens and Lunenburg County. But her and I work together frequently. And I'm her connect to the municipality. So if there's something that the municipality is interested in seeing within the schools, that could be, you know, a conversation with myself, Sarah, and you guys. Or, you know, I could have Sarah come in also, and she could speak to specifically what she does in the schools, if that's something that's interesting to you. So I work with Sarah, but she would be the main connect for any sort of school programming.
So as a health promoter, you just go out and make presentations to organizations and groups to try to encourage them to get involved in other programs?
So as a health promoter, we actually stay away from the word programming.
Okay.
So when you think about, we like to focus on, so if you were going to develop a new policy, we would want to be involved in that. Say, for example, in the rec department, they're doing their recreation for all policy. So that would be something that health promotion would be really interested in being a partner in and helping to develop that so that it promotes the health of the entire community, so we know that we're, you know, creating an inclusive policy. In terms of programming, we tend to stay away from that only because that's when you start focusing on the individual, and so we're focusing on population. So how can you make the most impactful change for the most people? And programming often is not that. Policy and legislation is the way that you're going to impact the broadest number of people. So if we do a program, say for, like, if we're talking about recreation, if I say, okay, I'm going to go out and do a presentation and develop a program for like a some sort of fitness, and that'll impact those 20 people that want to attend. But if we look at the Recreation for All policy and we're going to help develop this policy, that will impact your entire community. So if, does that make sense?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Any other councilor? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Samantha, I guess just with you being here, who was here before you? And did we have anyone here, or was it all just gone through Bridgewater and Detective Sweeney drove there?
So before me, there hasn't actually been a health promoter position specifically. There was a nutritionist, Melanie Newell, but she was the last person here, and she was focused. Her focus was on food and nutrition. So this is the first time there's been a health promoter.
Okay. May I continue? Because I could add, of course, to the social housing meeting, and Nancy Green is her counterpart,
yep,
down in Bridgewater.
Yep.
And everything is all done through there. And it's great, well, because you can look at the housing situations and everything else. So you're looking at the overall picture and trying to look at it, not just like you said, developing programs, but looking at the overall picture of how can we impact each part of the overall picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I find when I get down there, there's so much more. When you're going down to Bridgewater, everything is geared into that area because that's what they're looking at, that you're being part of.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have something up here. We're, I'd like to see us develop more structured meetings, looking at our needs assessments, and finding out how the municipality can be involved with the housing. Not just the what's going on in South Shore, but what's going on in Queens. So we haven't had our housing assessment. So these are all great studies if we don't do anything with it. So it's a look at specifically how it can be. And even with the activity and with the active transportation, of course, we've got a program coming along there. But it's more than that. It's how can we have activities for seniors, for even our trail programs and all these other things that to work with maybe our in-pal or something like that. And also that would, I'd like to see some more, just personally, just to sit down, let's all sit together and figure out where we're going with some of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, if there is interest in having some sort of housing group or anything really that's specific to Queens, I'm your resource. So that would be something that I would definitely be able to be involved in and help to facilitate. Just let me know.
You have cards here?
I honestly don't have cards. I haven't printed them for yet. But I have your email.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I can send you an email. You have my email.
I probably have it.
You've emailed me.
I put things in here and I forget where I really go.
And that's my email as well. They're on the screen.
Okay.
Councilor Philip?
As you stated, partnerships are very important. How are you finding the uptake with creating partnerships within Queens? Are there any that you're trying to succeed with, or ones that have been really worthwhile?
I would say I'm still quite new. I've only started in the new year. So I'm still trying to get the lay of the land a little bit. I have met with some of the counselors and staff here at the municipality, so that's been my initial focus, and then through that, I've sort of learned, like Gil had mentioned, a couple different groups that he would connect me with, and so that's sort of the way that I've been trying to connect with community groups. So if you have any suggestions, that would be great. I'm trying to, you know, develop as many different relationships as possible and sort of really understand what the appetite is in the community and where the interests are.
And your email, so I'll send you a couple of them.
Perfect.
Councilor Kiss?
Just interesting, are you aware of the breakfast program in schools?
Yep.
Very healthy way to do things for children coming in the school in the morning, so they have a choice of very healthy food, nutritious. So, very good presentation, is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Welcome aboard, Samantha.
Thank you.
Your office is at Queens General.
It is, okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any association with mental health?
I do. I've worked a lot, I don't know if any of you, well, Heather would, but Frances Congato works with mental health and addictions. So I work closely with him in terms of the cannabis legalization and things we're doing here in Queens. He works with me on that, the working group that was developed. He sits on that group with me. So that's my link to mental health and addictions. I'm sure my other colleagues have more expansive networks in that department. Mm-hmm. If there's something specific ask you have, I'm sure I could.
I was just wondering whether there was a liaison between mental health, because a lot of conditions and not conditions, but a lot of these situations that we have could be a result of a mental health condition in our community. And, you know, I mean, that's always been, there's never been enough money and enough concentration and effort spent in mental health. We all know that. So if there can be some kind of beginning that on a smaller scale to make the attention, to pay more attention to mental health. I think a lot of these situations in health promotion or unhealthy eating or unhealthy fitness or whatever, over obesity and that sort of thing could all come into play if there was more of a mental health concentration.
Yep. So, yeah, if there's something, there's no specific liaison, but depending on the content that we would connect with a specific person. So, you know, with this cannabis thing, I'm connected with Frances, but there are other connects depending on what you're after. Yeah. Sure.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any other counselor have a comment or a question this morning? Thank you, Samantha, for your presentation.
Thank you for having me.
and certainly you're welcome to remain for the balance of our council meeting or depart according to your schedule.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now move on to 4.0, tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table this morning. Are there any petitions to table? Second call for petitions. Third and final call. No petitions today. Brings us to 5.0, public question comment session. Please state your name, your address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Leon Robinson, Common Street, Liverpool. I noticed from looking at the minutes there, there was no public question. There was a question period, but there's nobody speaking. I missed it last week. Sorry, I missed it. Anyway, first of all, 9.2, I'm glad to see that on the agenda, and hopefully it gets approval today, doing away with the city hall meeting, streamlining their operation, and what the number of years before, we're
once approved by council, that would expire in December of 2019.
Right.
We're committed to providing library service within the region of Queens.
Now, one other anecdote to that. You hear our street talk, and we're going to turn to not, there's going to be a library building down where the old Rush and all sales church is moving, and that area, we know still the church, supposedly we're joined out.
There are many rumors within the region of Queens, and
right.
Certainly,
and that's one of
when rumors become fact, then council will comment on them.
Okay, it's just that I'm sure you've heard the street talk on that. Just one final thing, because my 5 minutes is not up. Number 12.2 with respect to the food and beverage operation over at Queens Place, and I see that if it's approved that Lane's privatarian will be taking that over. And I was just wondering if that anything is that your first call for quotes, there's nobody wide, and then the next time you got four and you looked at them and come up with this one. And I noticed in one of the, for example, your tenders for vehicles and things like that, you don't list the other ones that, the other three that were there, and I was wondering how come.
I expect all of that information will come out during deliberation today on that motion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Hearing none, I thank you. And we will now move on to 6.0, approval of minutes. We have first 6.1, regular council minutes, May 8th, 2018. A motion to accept those minutes. If there are no error or omissions, would be in order. Moved by Councilor Fisk, second by Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 6.2, public hearing minutes, May 8, 2018, to rezone Sand Street, Brunswick Street in Liverpool. Any error or omissions in those minutes that circulated previously? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes that circulated. Moved by Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Felix. Any discussion? Are you ready for the motion? All those in favor of the motion? In favor? Excuse me. We have a councilor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll move on now to 7.0, dangerous and unsightly premises. We have nothing under that issue today. Under 8.0, economic development, we have nothing to bring forward today. 9.0, corporate services. We have under 9.1, extension on lease for Thomas H. Bredahl Library, a recommendation. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councilor Phillips.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize the extension of the current lease with Heinz ProGuide Limited entered into on May 31st, 2017 for space housing Thomas H. Bredahl Library until December 31st, 2019, and that the Mayor and Chief Administrative Officer be authorized to execute the lease on Council's behalf.
Second for that motion? Councilor Fisk? Any discussion on that motion? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
If I may direct this to CAO.
Certainly.
Under the lease, in Article 11, insurance, it states that the tenant shall affect liability policies with insurers, shall furnish the landlord copies of liability policies and insurance certificates. But on that's 1102. Under 1104, the landlord throughout the term will carry insurance against fire and other perils. Should the landlord be supplying us with a copy of their insurance policy?
If I may, it's their building, it's up to them. So we're requiring them to provide insurance for their own assets, and the lease requires us to provide insurance for our assets. So we can't.
Oh, it's just for the assets, not the building.
That's correct.
Okay,
we're only providing insurance for our own assets.
Okay.
So if there was a fire in the building, we have our own insurance for our assets. The owner of the building is required to have his own fire insurance for his own assets.
Okay, I understand that. Thank you.
Okay. Does the councilor have a question or comment? Hearing
recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize the elimination of Committee of the Whole meeting effective immediately and continue to hold two council meetings a month.
Seconded to that, Councilor Frewitt. The document was circulated earlier. Are there any questions? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to 9.3, job description, Director of Planning and Development recommendation. Who would like to take the lead on this? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised Director of Planning and Development job description attached.
Seconded to that motion? Councilor Fancy? This document was distributed earlier. Are there any questions or comments on that document? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Just one observation. Some of these responsibilities were similar to what our municipal clerk was doing, is that correct? From contracts and leases and deeds and all that sort of thing.
Ms. CAO, would you like to comment?
Number four, what? It was number four.
No.
Oh, okay.
This is simply the filing of them and to make sure they're properly recorded.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Whether that can be recorded in the registry of deeds for certain documents.
Okay.
For public viewing, and this is just make sure they're filed properly. It's always been a planning department.
Okay.
For the most part.
Yeah. So there's no written the deeds and that sort of thing. It's just actually they are, after they are processed, and it's a filing with the other authorities.
That's correct. So the lease with the library, once it's executed, it goes to the planning department, and they look after filing it, and looking after making sure it's available. It needs to be recorded.
Gotcha.
Somewhere to
yeah,
record
yeah.
it.
Thanks.
Any other councilor have a question or a comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 10.0, Engineering and Works. That rotor looks like
that. We can still take a break for a second.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll resume council meeting. The next item is 10.0, Engineering Works, and I was asked our director of Brad Roder to come forward. Who would like to take the lead on 10.1? Councilor Fisk.
Recommendation that the Council of Region Queens Municipality approve the purchase of a 2019 HV607 SBA International classes from Silver Scratch 2018 Limited in the amount of $104,998.63 plus HST.
And a seconder to that motion? Deputy Mayor McLeod. Brad, would you like to give us a briefing?
Sure. Received pricing on this vehicle, and this vehicle replaces a 1991 GMC Topkick, which has already been taken out of service. In addition to this, we will need to purchase a box for the back, plow for the front, and a salt sprayer. This vehicle will probably give us 20-year service, I would imagine, rating around there. And we designed it such that it has multi-purpose. In other words, similar to the way that Department of Transportation does some of theirs, and you can actually see one of their salt spurs up there now. You basically just slide it out of the box. That way, during the summertime, you could use it as a small. gets good utility out of this. It's a good price. It's a thin budget, and hopefully we can make it work here.
Thank you, Brad. Any questions or comments of councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Brad, in our budget, then taking out of reserves, was that the single actual dump, blah 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 thing?
Yes,
that
it was.
Union?
Yeah.
And that was, you had 189,000 for
so
that.
I'd say, like I said, you still have to purchase the plow and the
salt
box.
Oh, I see.
Loss, but,
right. Yeah, all assessed.
But the chassis itself, I'd say we're probably 20 under, right in around
okay.
there, 15 or so. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're ahead of the game here.
Good. Thank you.
Councilor Fisk?
Brad, I didn't hear the part there. What vehicle did you replace?
91 GMC Top Kick.
Any other councilor? Have a question? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Under 11.0 finance, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 12.0 recreation and community facilities, I would ask Megan Roberts if she would like to come forward this morning. Under 12.1, we have tournament special events assistant program. Who would like to take the lead on 12.1? Councilor Fancy.
I shall recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give budget approval for a tournament special events assistance grant of $200 to Queens County Minor Hockey Association to help with the cost associated with hosting the first annual Privateer Concrete Classic, and that it be funded from community grants and programs budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
And a seconder to that? Councilor Fisk. Megan, would you like to give us a briefing on this?
Sure. So I was contacted by Queens County Minor Hockey. They were looking for a number of different things, ways to engage their youth more, ways to keep the kids active, and as well to raise funds for their association. So they had put together the idea of this concrete classic. So this will be the first annual. They thought really big to start with and kind of pared it back down a little bit. So there's still people and teams coming from other associations. They sent it out province-wide to everybody. And their hope is each year to grow it and have it become, a whole weekend event. But this year they've started small to make sure they can know what they're doing and can get everything, their ducks in a row. So we worked with them to help them do that. And then each year, as you know, the word gets out how great it is, they'll grow it. And you know, the hope is, again, to have it be, hopefully a three-day event. But I think it's a good pairing with Privateer Days. There'll be a lot of people around, and, certainly they have had good uptake for it so far.
Thank you. Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Fancy?
How many areas are you setting up for, or are they setting up for playing at one time? Just one game at a time, or is it going to be a couple different areas?
Well, it'll come down to how many teams they get. I think their initial thought was two, and they're doing it down at the far end by the skate park.
Okay.
So we'll block that off for them with our barricades, and then they're going to have an enclosure that they're going to create there for
it.
Good. Yeah.
I know if you don't have an enclosure, you can get the...
Yeah, well, the kids don't want to come if there's not an enclosure because they're chasing
right.
the ball constantly.
Yeah,
so, yep.
Because I look at that up in Milton, I mean, it's gone on for years.
Yes.
They just have it every night during the summer. You look at it's just always playing ball hockey up in the tennis court. So
mm-hmm.
we've always had a great uptake for that. We've had some over at the curling club.
There. Yes.
They had the ball hockey. So now to be able to bring something that's organized in and bring out the teams in, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be good. They've done a lot of really hard work on it.
Councilor Kelly?
Do they provide a budget? Do they have to provide a budget when requesting money for this event?
Yeah, so it's in the
Sorry,
paper
I didn't
there.
See that.
Yeah.
Where is it? Oh, sorry, okay, I got it. Yes, as I was looking at what their expenses
mm-hmm.
were, what would actually be the equipment that they require for this?
So the equipment is going to be various things. So they do have to get equipment to build that enclosure as well. So it's the barricades, but there's also equipment. They're going to have balls. They're going to have some extra sticks on hand and whatnot in case the kids break the stuff that they bring.
And the barricades, why are the barricades so expensive? They're buying them this year? Are they buying them for themselves?
Well, they have to put them together, yeah. So they're working also, they're expensive because you have to build them so high. And they're looking at a couple different options of how to do that. So that was their initial, because they had to get this in, obviously. So that was their initial what it's going to cost. And they got that from another ball hockey tournament that they had contacted in terms of what they put together.
Right.
Yep.
Because my concern over this event was the fact that you know, they can have anywhere from four to seven players, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Four is the minimum, I think, because they need it's
correct.
Three on three and then
that's
a goalie,
cool.
Right? And and it's $250 per team. So you break it down, and I mean, kids, you know, kid is going to be anywhere from $40 to $50. And that seemed to me that was kind of like limiting to some children to be and kids to be able to be. They all want to be involved in it, but you know, it's a big price for a one day event of ball hockey. So
mm-hmm.
I was concerned about the cost of getting involved. And see, it's like $3,000 for their entry, and their total expenses are only $1,810. So why do they need $200 for this from us?
It falls under the grant, and this is not unlike other things that we give money to, where at the end of the day they're making money at the end, but they've asked us to help support the event. And so my thought process in that $200 is that that would help cover the winning team banners, so you're giving that to them at the end. But I mean, they can obviously spend it for whatever part of it, but that's kind of where I came at it. I wasn't, you know, it's not, it's different than other events that we have that apply for this, so that's kind of where I came at it from it. But I mean, obviously, if there's a change that you folks want made to this, then that's entirely up to you.
Well, I'm all for supporting these events.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, it would have been nice to see it that it wasn't such a huge barrier, the cost of for kids to enter in it.
And it could be that that will decrease in coming years when they don't have the cost of the barricades to do again, because their intention is to keep those things.
Yeah.
And I think that's certainly something they're looking at doing so.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Megan, I know that you didn't come up with a budget, but you have to analyze it in order to make a decision, right?
Yeah.
So the entry fee, based on 12 teams, so they say they only have like a portion of that registered already, so that would make their income from the teams less. So I mean, they're struggling at this point to try to make expenses and make this a doable thing. But I think once the word gets out after this year, then that will stimulate others for other years to continue if they want this to be an annual event.
And there is a whole circuit of ball hockey tournaments that happen throughout the province. So I think once they figure out where they can lie in that, maybe at the end of the day they'll realize or they'll come to the conclusion that this maybe isn't the best weekend and they'd fit in better somewhere else. I think this, once everybody knows that it's happening and they see that what a great event it is, that it'll become much bigger. And I think at the end of the day, this weekend is a really good weekend because the kids are already around and it gives us something to do for the day.
It's an opportunity, and as Councillor Kelly was stating, the cost, I mean, any individual could sponsor a member and that's how they could, you know, make up for their expenses. So there's all kinds of opportunities there.
Mm-hmm. Any other councillor have a question or comment? Councillor Frilly?
We're pleased as part of the festival that it's happening on the weekend, but I would caution that if it does get better, bigger, that, you know, accommodations, because the most hotels are sold out on that weekend, so
absolutely.
If you have a chance to talk to organizers.
Mm-hmm.
But we've started to help them promote it. We're working with them as far as the parade, because we need to be in there in the morning.
Yes,
so
yep.
We've started working with that, and they're part of our program. So, we're thrilled that it's happening.
And they were really excited to partner with Privateer Days for that. They're just happy to have the extra help promoting, and we've certainly been trying to send it out to all of our contacts through Queens Place, so, yep.
Any other councillor? Question or comment? Are there any questions? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. 12.2, request for proposal, food and beverage operator at Queensboro Sierra Center. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Counselor Fisk?
Counselor Reese of Queens Municipality requests staff to negotiate a 2-year renewable agreement with Lane's Privateerian for food and beverage operations at Queens Place of Air Center, and that the council authorize the chief administrative officer to enter into an agreement according to the most appropriate terms and conditions subject to Lane's Privateerian's submitted proposal effective June 1st, 2018, or as soon thereafter as possible.
Seconder for that motion? Seconded by Councilor Kelly. Meg, would you like to give us a briefing on it?
Sure. So we had 4 applications come in under this RFP. So we put together a committee of 3 people, and we evaluated each one of them based on a set of criteria. And at the end of the day, we came down to this proposal.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Dancer.
So I look at it as these 4 proposals come forward. This is the one you're going to negotiate with, what we're voting on. We're not saying we've got a contract. It just means we're giving permission to go forward to try to get a contract with them as they have the money.
Absolutely.
You've seen the things that stood out that looked like it could be more possible.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Absolutely.
Yes, I have Councilor Frelick next.
I'd really love to see some sort of report or follow up with the exiting supplier or the Stewie, because I know there are certain things that have happened in the past that we don't want to duplicate. That, you know, someone going in, they have to go through the ropes of finding that out. And, you know, if it's already documented, then that gives them a little bit of a head start. So, can you confirm that there'll be any sort of exit interview with Stewie on this way out? Or?
I don't. We certainly can.
We certainly can, but I think our staff are in contact with Mr. Jenkins and his staff on a weekly basis. So I don't think there's anything new that we've probably learned from that, but certainly we can have a discussion with Mr. Jenkins and see if he's interested in sharing with us his thoughts.
Okay, so it's about getting the information to the new people at Lane's, because, you know, sometimes it's not always good news. If they're leaving for a reason, and I think there's many reasons, but I think that having that heart-to-heart with them and saying, here's some of the issues that the previous person ran into, so you can start to address it early. So, and maybe that's not a report from Stu, maybe that's a report from staff to the new person. So I think just being up front with everything is the way to go for that. So.
Thank you, Councilor Frelick. Any other councilor have a question or a comment? Councilor Fisk?
Just as the motion read, that the negotiations, if possible, they will start on June 1st. Can you come to an agreement with them? Contract?
Okay. They'll start immediately, yeah.
Councilor Bellick?
So is the goal to have them in place by the concert date?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So that is the goal. Obviously, we have to work through that contract piece, but that is their intention as well, to be in there in some capacity for that.
And
for
Mr.
Sure.
Duncan's is out of there? What's his last day?
Yeah, 31st was his. Yeah, it was extended to the 31st. So their last day, I believe, is the 29th.
And so is there a backup plan if you can't negotiate with Lane's for that date? Because that's a pretty big evening.
Well, no matter what, we will do the bar services for
okay.
sure. As far as the canteen, I don't know. I mean, we'd have to cross that bridge when we came to it, yeah.
That's why they made food trucks. So
that's right.
Yeah. Bring something the bar is important.
Yes, oh yes, no, we have that covered no matter what for
yeah,
it. Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
CAO?
Just in response to the question from the member of the public at the beginning. This is normally if you get a tender process, which you like you saw. saw was the public documents for the truck chassis. We provide the information about what the bids are, because that's a public document once the bids are open for the most part. This is a different process. This is an RFP, so people provide an expression of interest. And many times it's confidential, so the employees may not be aware of it. They may provide information in that RFP, which is proprietary information in there that may be specific to their business as both cost models and what they're willing to offer to us. And so in some cases, the people that bring forth RFPs don't want the public knowledge that they've submitted an RFP. But certainly, from our standpoint, if any of those four proponents wish to make public that they've submitted RFPs and what their proposal was, and question our process by any means, we're more than willing to answer any discussions in a public forum as to why one was selected over the other ones. But it's not appropriate for us to, although in a general sense it talks about why we didn't select some of the other ones, it wouldn't be appropriate for us to, in a public forum, without their agreement, to have that public discussion about why they weren't selected. But certainly if any of the other three that weren't successful based on this recommendation wish to have a discussion with us about the things that were lacking in the proposal based on the report, we're more than willing to have that discussion. But it's up to each of those proponents to come forward on their own if they wish to make public what their proposal was, and if they wish to do that, they can certainly do that. But it wouldn't be appropriate for us to publicly acknowledge somebody else's proposal without their permission.
Councilor Fancy?
I don't know if this is the right answer, the right question or not, but even with Lanes going forward here, or with others that have come forward if this doesn't work through, do they have an opportunity to see the old contract to understand what they're going up against, or what they, rather than starting everything fresh and anew, at least they understand how much it costs for this, or how much they would get from this, or percentage of that, or what that we under the old contract know what the region would allow, I guess, from the beginning.
I would ask the CAO to respond.
So this particular RFP, any of the proponents that ask for a copy of the existing contract will provide with the existing contract. So anybody that's asked for it, it's made public information.
Oh, okay, so they had that to work with.
Anybody that asked was given a copy.
Okay.
The full contract without any redaction.
Okay. Deputy Mayor McLeod?
My question was about the final contract. Once it's established, is that a public document?
Absolutely.
Councilor Philly?
I just want to say that, you know, Lanes is a really good choice. They have continue to be really community-minded. The things they're doing at the Lighthouse is you know, commendable, and certainly at their establishment. So I think it's a great step forward, and congratulations on selecting forward-thinking vendor.
Agreed.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
13.0 planning. The first one is 13.1 development agreement request 10446 Highway 8 in Harmony Automobile Repair Shop. Who would like to take the lead on this one?
I will.
Councilor Kelly. Planner Michael Cloud has come to the presentation desk. Thank you.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to enter into a development agreement with Devin Smith to allow for an automobile service station on property identified as PID number 701-57052, located at 10446 Highway 8 in Harmony, and that a public hearing be scheduled for June 25th, 2018 at 6 p.m. in Caledonia, Nova Scotia, venue to be determined.
Seconded to that motion? Councillor Fisk? Mike, would you like to give us a brief update?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, a little bit of background. This application we received from the owners of property located at 10446 Highway 8 in the community of Harmony. It's the intention of the owners to operate a new automobile repair shop at this location. The property is located within a mixed-use rural residential R5 zone, which does not permit automobile repair or automobile service stations as of right. However, council does have policy within its municipal planning strategy to consider such uses by way of a development agreement.
So the application is for a development agreement to allow this use. The property is about, has 23,000 square feet in area and has about 100 feet of frontage on Highway 8. The lot is currently vacant, however, had previously had a mobile home on the property. The mobile has since been removed. So there has been previous development on the property. The closest residential dwelling is about 160 feet to the south of the subject property. Subject property has a tree buffer. It's primarily wooded, so there is currently a buffer area between the proposed site and the adjacent residential uses. Certainly the road access on being Highway 8 is more than adequate to support the proposed use. And I guess just as a general location, the property is approximately 3 kilometers to the north along Highway 8 from I guess the Caledonia Core area. By looking at such a use through a development agreement process, council has the ability to control the use and to limit some of the potential impacts that that commercial use may have on the surrounding area, looking at provision such things as off-site parking, maintenance of vegetated buffer areas, outdoor storage, lighting, hours of operation, those sort of things. So the development agreement allows council to have a greater degree of control than simply allowing permitted use as a right in the zone. So so a copy of a draft development agreement is included in the package for council's consideration as well.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments of councilor? Councilor Fisk?
This property we're talking about, Mike, is it the property where you removed the unsightly premises trailer?
Yes, I believe that was the property through...
That would have happened like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Any other councilor? Mayor McLeod?
Mike, this is just a question, a thought in my head, and I know that we had an application for a similar operation that we dealt with in Caledonia last year. So in a small area like that, are they very similar? Do you know if they're very similar in what services they provide?
Well, both are looking at automobile repair services, and obviously this, I know this applicant is certainly aware that another development agreement.
Yeah.
So currently, I don't think there's any other operations of this nature in the North Queens area. So I think certainly the applicant in this case wasn't overly concerned that there was another proposed operation in the near vicinity. So.
Any other councilor? Question or comment? Councilor Fisk?
Just one comment. Maybe I could be wrong, but I think there is another operation, or more operations in the Caledonia area.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Michael. Mike Newman? No, not Mike. Five Newman? Operation. So, but I still, my feeling of the of this would be that there's plenty of work for the three small units.
Thank you, Councilor Fisk. Any other councilor have a question or comment? Councilor Dancy?
It's something kind of off the subject, but on the subject, it would be nice to have a list of all the availabilities. I'm getting a lot of phone calls from people like electricians and mechanics and things. It would be nice to have a list somewhere where people could be able to find these type of things. And I don't know if that's something that the municipality needs to take on or not, but it would be nice, especially with carpenters today. You can't find carpenters. And I think it would be nice to have a list of somehow things to be able to have for the public to see.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy. Any other questions? Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on to 13.2, development agreement request, Highway 8, Caledonia, automobile repair shop. Who would like to take the lead on 13.2?
Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopted administrative policy respecting the development agreement to allow for the establishment of an automobile repair shop in the mixed-use rural residential R5 zone on property identified as PID 701-550-80 and located on Highway 3 in Greenville, in Caledonia.
Seconded for that, Councilor Fancy. Any discussion on this issue?
Yeah, I guess just similar to the last, we've received an application for an automobile repair shop on a property located just prior to, I guess, the core area of Caledonia on Highway Number 8, adjacent to Civic Number 9606. The property is currently zoned as mixed-use rural residential R5, and the municipal planning strategy allows council to consider such uses by way of a development agreement process. As with the previous item on the agenda, this development agreement includes such control measures to limit the impact of this use on the adjacent residential properties. So we had a public hearing last Thursday evening in Caledonia to discuss the issue. Obviously, the neighbors and community didn't have concerns with the application. So we're here for council's consideration to move forward on the application.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I just have an administrative or clerical question. I just happened to notice. Every time that we put an application or someone puts an application for a development agreement, is a policy set for every one of those? One standard policy and then they're listed under?
It's, I guess, under the Municipal Government Act, it sets out that development agreements need to be approved by way of a policy.
Okay.
So in each instance, we have to approve a policy respecting the adoption of a development agreement.
So there's not a specific policy that says, yes, we will deal with the development agreements, and then one policy, and every time we approve one, it goes under that. Everyone has their separate policy.
Yes, development agreements, they're specifically identified, so you just can't do a development agreement for whatever. You have to specifically identify
whatever, because they're all different.
Yes.
Just wanted to save some paperwork.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?